Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Megan.
We're two moms with 8 kids between us, from little to grown.
We're in different areas of the country and in different stages of life.
But we both know that motherhood's a lot easier when real moms share tips and encouragement.
And remind you that it's really all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour. Hey everyone, and welcome to the Mom Hour. I am Megan Francis, and very excited to introduce you today to Daisy Gillespie. Daisy is a personal stylist and creator of The Mindful Closet, where she offers both one-on-one personal styling and shopping services, as well as courses and information on editing your closet, shopping more mindfully, and creating a look that is really you. I know this is something I've struggled with over the years. As moms, our bodies change a lot and we're busy, and our budgets often seem to be completely consumed by our family responsibilities. So we just don't always take the time or really invest in our personal style, but it can make such a difference in how we feel. And as Daisy advocates, it really doesn't have to be a matter of spending a bunch of money on new stuff. It's more about paring down what you don't need so you can make the most of what you have and add new pieces more thoughtfully. Daisy actually walks me through a personal styling session in this episode and also answers questions about shopping online, organizing your closet, and more. Really looking forward to sharing this one with you all. Hi, Daisy. Thanks so much for being on the Mom Hour.
I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me, Megan.
Of course. This is funny because I needed you more than I knew. I was talking with Sarah a few days ago and said something to the effect of, I just want to burn my closet down and start over. And then she said, well, you should interview Daisy from the Mindful Closet. So it seemed like it was great timing. I'm really excited today. And just so listeners know, we're going to do something a little bit different today, in that we'll talk a little bit about your company and how you got started and how you work with clients. But then you're going to put me through the ringer, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just a little bit. You're going to be my on-air client.
I can't wait. So there's like an intake form that I already filled out, and I assume you will kind of go through it was like a questionnaire all about, it was very in-depth, and it was all about my personal style and my closet and all my problems. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like therapy. And so we'll kind of go through that, and you'll answer the way you would if I were your client. And we'll just stop short of you actually going through my wardrobe piece by piece and, you know, telling me what to get rid of. So, but I think this is going to be, I think it'll show kind of the process. So I'm excited about that. But first, tell us about yourself and your business, why you started the Mindful Closet, and how you work with your clients, and how you got into this line of work.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I'm Daisy. I am a mom. I have 2 boys. They're 2 and 6. And I started my business, Mindful Closet, in 2013. So it's been about 7 years now. And there was a combination of things that kind of led to me starting the business. One is, as you might guess, I've always loved clothes and fashion. And to be perfectly honest, my parents thought it was a very superficial interest of mine. And so if they maybe had been a little less judgmental of it, it's something I probably would have gone into much earlier in life, but it wasn't totally an approved path. So it's always been something I loved. It was always something that people kind of came to me for help with. And I just ended up, you know, just being that friend who would tell you what to wear or what not to wear, what to get rid of, and that kind of thing. But then another big part of it was really me having many jobs that were in very stressful fields and stressful careers, and just really wanting like a change of pace of life. And so I started the business right around the same time as I got pregnant with my first son, and just really wanted something that would allow me to have time for rest, to be perfectly honest, to have a little bit of a lower daily stress level, you know, something that could be flexed around, you know, childcare and school hours and all that kind of stuff. So it was one of those things really where, my husband, who's super supportive, I talked about, he finally said, like, will you just quit your job because you're so miserable, and just try this for a year. And so that's what I did. And it just kind of took off. So I've been doing it ever since.
That's amazing. So you now work with clients both in real life and remotely, correct? So how does that work? Like what is your whole process like when you work with clients?
Sure. Well, it's really interesting. Of course, we're speaking right now in September of 2020, and we are in the middle of a pandemic. And so it's changed quite a bit about how I work with clients. You know, up until March of this year, I worked mainly with people in my area. I'm in St. Louis. And I would do these kind of long sessions with them because I would go to their house and, you know, we're just going to kind of, it didn't make sense for me to make multiple visits that were shorter periods of time. So basically I would go, I really value people's kind of authentic feelings and their lifestyle and what they truly need when I'm working with them. So my biggest, as you kind of discovered going through my questionnaire, is like my biggest goal is to really like get to know them as well as I can, as quickly as I can. So I do this whole thing where I really get them thinking about their clothes and what they mean to them. And then, you know, when I go to meet people at their homes, I'll sit and talk to them for, you know, up to an hour, really. Mm. We're just kind of talking about how clothes have functioned throughout their lives. And that's what you'll get a little taste of today. But, and then we would go into their closets and kind of start going through and seeing what they have and letting go of the stuff that they don't need anymore. And that would be one session. And then from there, I would be able to see what's missing and what they really need to make it all functional. And I would kind of create a shopping list for them. If they were people, you know, locally, we would meet for a second session at, you know, local stores, like generally one of the bigger shopping areas here. And I would pre-shop for my client. So I go a couple of hours before our meeting time, pull things for them in four or five different stores, set up dressing rooms. They show up. All they have to do is walk in and try things on and just say yes or no. So that was how it typically worked. Since then.
So very different now.
Yeah. And I did always have remote clients here and there. And of course, online shopping has, you know, always been something that we had access to. But now I find it's much easier. I'm doing a lot more mini sessions. So basically, I'll work with people for an hour to help them kind of pinpoint one particular area that they've been struggling with, either like defining their style or really figuring out what their shopping habits have been and how to shift those in a positive way, or setting up a capsule wardrobe, like, you know, just kind of focusing in on one topic or more. And then often I will continue to work with that same person on shopping or whatever. But then I'm sending them kind of a collection of links online. So,
yeah, because not only have people's, your ability to go into people's homes has changed, the way people shop has changed. Mm-hmm. And I imagine the things that people need clothing for. Have also changed. They're dressing for entirely new lifestyles. Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, there's a lot to dig into. We are going to take a quick break. And when we get back, I have a few questions for you specifically about your mom clients, which I'm assuming you have a lot of. And then we'll dive into kind of, I don't know, tearing apart my answers to your questionnaire.
Yeah, and your issues.
Seeing if you can help me because I have a lot of issues. We will be right back.
Megan, my kids were all pretty awful sleepers as infants, and I think I'm still a little scarred from multiple night wakings well past the newborn stage. And with the everyday stressors on moms in 2020, I cannot imagine adding that deep exhaustion that I remember from those days on top of everything else right now. Our sponsor, Newton Baby, makes a crib mattress designed to help babies breathe easier and sleep safer because they believe that good sleep matters both for moms and for babies.
Sarah, this mattress is not only breathable, it's also washable, which I find incredible. Or maybe it's more incredible that the other mattresses out there are not washable, which is pretty gross when you think about what kind of messes happen in a baby's crib, right?
Yeah.
I love that a washable mattress also means you can pass it along through the family and feel like it's new every time.
When I got to check out the Newton crib mattress, I did what they call the breathe to believe challenge. I smushed my face right up into it like a baby might. And it's crazy. You really can breathe through the mattress material. Newton Baby offers a 100-night sleep guarantee, which means you can order today, smush your face in like I did, give it a try with your baby, and return it if you're not totally thrilled. And Newton Baby is offering our listeners $50 off your crib mattress plus free shipping. You're going to go to newtonbaby.com, that's NEWTONBABY.com, and enter the code THEMOMHOUR.
That is a great deal, Sarah. And with that 100-night guarantee, there is no risk to check it out. Again, to try the hashtag #BreatheToBelieve challenge, head to newtonbaby.com, that's NEWTONBABY.com, and enter code THEMOMHOUR for $50 off your mattress plus free shipping.
Megan, my younger kids are actually learning on campus as of recently, so our mornings look very different these days. And turns out I kind of like having a place to go and like a checklist of things that the kids need to do. I don't know. It's very me.
It is very you. We know you love your morning routine, Sarah.
And I bet Hiya Kids vitamins are on that checklist, right? We are hearing from our listeners that you're all loving Hiya as much as we are because kids think they taste great and moms love that they're made with zero sugar. Plus, they're non-GMO, vegan, dairy-free, allergy-free, gelatin-free, and nut-free.
Yeah, these are not the gummy vitamins of ages past, Megan. The two dads who founded Hiya Health made sure their kids' vitamins are made right here in the USA and formulated to support what modern kids are missing from their diet. And they did it without all the junk that used to get added in. Your kids won't know it, but Hiya vitamins are actually made from a blend of 12 farm-fresh fruits and vegetables and then supercharged with 15 essential vitamins and minerals that are known to help support a healthy immune system, energy levels, brain function, mood, teeth, bones, and more.
Hiya vitamins come shipped right to your door on a pediatrician-recommended schedule, and even the packaging is mindful of waste. You'll get a cute glass bottle with your first shipment, and after that, the refills come in a no-plastic pouch. And we're going to help you get 50% off your first order. That's half off. To claim this deal, go to HiyaHealth.com/momhour or enter code momhour, and you'll see that full discount applied at checkout. That's HiyaHealth.com/momhour to save 50% on your first order of kids' vitamins. Okay, Daisy. So before we get into kind of talking about my wardrobe issues, I've got a few questions about your mom clients specifically, because I know we've probably got a lot of mom listeners right now who are saying, my wardrobe is a mess. I really like this idea of a capsule, but how do I even get started? I have one thing that will come through in my questionnaire is I feel like I have like three or four kind of disparate lifestyles I'm trying to dress for, and it's really hard to pull them all together. So what are some of the most common trip ups specifically your mom clients run into when they're trying to plan their wardrobes and manage their wardrobes?
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the biggest things I see, and this is, you know, will seem quite obvious, but we go through such an identity change when we become moms. And I often see that moms are holding on to past lives through their clothes. So either, you know, it's maybe the work lifestyle that they had before, or the social lifestyle that they had before, or the size that they were before, and just kind of not allowing themselves to be where they are right now. And I think there's so much pressure for moms to feel like we need to go back to that person we were before we had kids. And we're just not the same. We're just totally different. And I think we've really been sold this idea that, like, you know, again, that it's a good thing to go back to that size or that lifestyle or whatever, where it would be so much nicer if we were all able to just accept, like, oh, no, I've really changed and my clothes will change because my life has changed. And I don't need to hold myself to some unrealistic standard of, you know, 5 years ago, that was the different person.
Yeah. I think I mentioned when I was filling out the questionnaire is that I did, you know, I've gained 10, 15 pounds in the last 10 years. And it's not even that I don't think I look good. It's more that I look different. And it's almost jarring when I'm trying on new things. So it's like it used to be so easy. I just got so used to what I knew looked good on me. I could pull it off the rack and just buy it and not even have to try it on. And that is not the case anymore, because it's like I'm starting over. And you are kind of, when you fight that, you're just fighting against yourself and really what could make you feel really good about the way you look.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I see, again, so many people, you know, holding on to, you know, small sizes or things that they are having this kind of aspirational goal of getting back into. But what that is generally doing is, again, this is the biggest thing I see that resulting in when I work with moms, is they're not allowing themselves to create a wardrobe that they feel good in right now. Like, they're kind of waiting for some future time, which may or may not come, and consequently not feeling good in their clothes right now. And I just think it's such an important part of how we feel about ourselves that to deny ourselves that is, it just makes me really sad.
Yeah. And it's not fair to ourselves. So let's dive in. Can you psycho wardrobe analyze me, Daisy? Can we go through and do kind of like that intake that you would do with a client so that everyone can hear it? That would be awesome.
Sure. Yeah. Well, the first thing I usually start with asking is, so you said earlier in the, you know, when you were introing this episode that you felt like you wanted to burn your closet down. So tell me a little bit more about that and why you feel that way.
So I live in Michigan. So right now is the time of year where
it is starting to, the weather is starting to change really fast. And mm-hmm. I'm really sick of my summer clothes, which this year in particular, were not very mindfully chosen. I didn't really even shop. I walked into one store and bought like three of these filmy little kimono things. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm just going to use these to put together. This is my wardrobe. So mm-hmm. it's going to be basically like shorts and tanks with this alternating kimono situation. And that was fine. It got me through the summer. But now I'm like, I really would like to feel like fall can be a very cute time around mm-hmm. here. And I'm looking at all my clothes and I just don't, I feel like the stuff I like is now, I've been hanging on to it. It's so old. It really needs to be either freshened up or gotten rid of. And the mm-hmm. things I've bought in the last 5 years, I'm just not happy with, particularly in the last like 2 to 3 years. I just mm-hmm. don't think, they don't feel like me. I don't feel like anything pulls together. It doesn't, I feel like I have four different wardrobes mm-hmm. and I can't figure out how to make them jive. Or like when I do pull on an outfit that looks pulled together, I'm surprised. Like, wow, how did that happen? And then I can't replicate it. And it's part of it is I do like a lot of different kinds of looks. And maybe I have this idea that I can just have all of them in the closet. But at some point, I don't have enough room. I don't have enough interest in maintaining those clothes. It just becomes like I have laundry baskets now just full of clothes I haven't bothered to put away because I don't even like them enough to put them away. So mm-hmm. that's where I am right now.
Yeah. So when you said that you feel like a lot of your clothes that you bought in the last 5 years don't really feel like you, what does that mm-hmm. mean?
I think what was going on was the body changes mm-hmm. that I was talking about. And I think that I've bought things that are placeholders in my mm-hmm. mind. Mm-hmm. The stuff that I used to really like that I felt like looked good on me, suddenly I didn't think looked as good on me anymore. So I was trying to kind of play with different looks, but kind of just getting stuff I really didn't feel that jazzed about. So mm-hmm. I'm basically still drawn to the same kinds of clothes I always have been. And I think I can wear them. I haven't figured out how. So mm-hmm. there's some cheap stuff in there that was just like really last minute. I just need something to wear today kind of stuff. The other thing that happens a lot is that I do like I have a very different lifestyle. Like I'm active. So mm-hmm. in a typical day, I might go for a run. I might go to yoga. I might go for a hike. I'm probably also going to spend some time lounging. I may have to dress somewhat professionally, at least from the waist up, to be on a video mm-hmm. call. And I might mm-hmm. go out that night. Like, so, you know, that doesn't happen as often anymore in COVID times. But every now and then, it is nice to have something on that looks kind of nice. So I feel like I'm sometimes changing my clothes like 3 times in a day. Mm-hmm. And it's just creating too much laundry and too much shuffling around in the closet, and it's taking up too much room. I would love to be able to just walk into a nice pared down closet and the thing I want to wear is pressed and mm-hmm. looks nice and it's clean and it's ready for me. And I know that I can grab it and pair it with something else and go, and I mm-hmm. don't have to think so hard. So it was kind of a long winded way of saying help.
Not at all. No. So you're basically still drawn to the same stuff. And I will say you cheated a little bit on one of the questions, because I definitely love to see people's Pinterest boards. And you said you hadn't updated yours in a while. Yes. But that definitely helped. What I'll do generally is I kind of look over a Pinterest board, and I tell people to just pin things that they're drawn to aesthetically. Like, don't worry if it feels like you can't, quote, pull it off, or it doesn't work for your body or any of those things, but just for people to pin things that they like the looks of, like just simply that. And then I'm able to kind of go over and analyze and say, like, the way that I would analyze someone's style is kind of taking a few different characteristics, like silhouette and line, print and pattern, color, item type, things like that. And so when you said you're basically still drawn to the same stuff, I got a little bit from your questionnaire and even from some things that I've heard you talk about on the podcast before. But tell me a little bit about the things that you're drawn to generally, like kind of in those categories. Like silhouette, you said you like things that are kind of tailored to the body, maybe not clinging or body conscious, but tailored.
Yeah, I do like body conscious clothes. I just don't mm-hmm. wear them, you know, but I do like that look is something that I am drawn to. I like long, lean lines. I have mm-hmm. really long legs and mm-hmm. I like to show that off when I can. Mm-hmm. So stuff that is like slim and like kind of fits into the body, and I don't mm-hmm. find that, and even it's not necessarily a matter of it looking good or me on me or not necessarily, but like flowy tunic, like things that are mm-hmm. ruffly or flowy, that's not my look. I don't mm-hmm. feel like I'm a boho kind mm-hmm. of look. I feel like more European almost. Like, I don't know if that even makes sense.
Which makes total sense.
I like pattern in one area, but not all over. Like, I usually, like, if I had a, I love stripes. Mm-hmm. I find myself very drawn to stripes. Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, stripes on top and plain on the bottom, which works if I can make it work, because then theoretically I should be able to have my tops and my bottoms like always go together if I know mm-hmm. how to shop for them, right? Yeah. And I do really like colors and patterns, but I really like those to be kind of like used sparingly, I guess, like a scarf or a piece of jewelry or something like that. I do not lean on jewelry enough, and I really like statement jewelry, and I just don't really own any. Or when I do, I don't. Yeah, I know. I don't. It's like I don't trust myself to buy it or something. Mm. So, yeah,
that's interesting. No, that helps a ton. And just kind of like as an off, like kind of just tangent piece of advice. I mean, I think jewelry and scarves are the easiest thing to experiment with. You know what I mean? So like, don't feel pressure that you have to get it right. You can be trying a new, you know, necklace every other month and just kind of seeing what you like, or scarf, or whatever. Mm. That's such a good way to kind of figure out what you like. So yeah, so you really, I would say you kind of have a pretty clearly defined style. It seems to me that you like things that are clean and simple, like you said, long lines, European. And when you say European, that kind of also illustrates to me a little bit more that maybe the base of your outfits is going to be a little more neutral. And then, you know, like you said, just kind of with color and pattern and accents maybe. And what about like item types? Like, what do you typically like to wear? Do you wear pants? Do you wear leggings? Do you love dresses, skirts, all that stuff?
So I really love leggings. I did realize this year that I've been a little indiscriminate about my leggings. Like, I think that there's a time and a place, and maybe I've taken that to the edge, and maybe I could just like use a little bit of a legging upgrade. Maybe that's what it is, because I have lots of, I have a lot of like athletic leggings, which I love to wear when I walk or run, but I was trying to like weave those into outfits or they just didn't fit. And I think that's something that, that I could work on definitely. And I like jeans that are, I don't like them to be uncomfortable. And that's one thing that I've gotten really attached to my leggings and my jeggings is I don't like to feel like a pinch in the tummy from my button or whatever. So I do have a couple pairs of jeans that I really like because they're super comfortable. But for the most part, I find myself skipping over those in my wardrobe just because I think they're not going to be as comfortable, or they're going to pull down on my butt and I'm going to be constantly pulling them up, you know? So
yeah, totally.
That's something. And I don't love wearing belts because the same thing, I feel like I'm constricted in the middle and then I'm hiking my pants up all day, which, you know, could just be that I'm not wearing the right size jeans. But I like pants that have that kind of like really slim leg that aren't leggings and also aren't jeans. I don't own a single pair right now, I don't think. They're like, you know, like the ones sometimes with a little crease in the front. Like, I really like that look, but I don't own any.
Okay.
Don't know why. I just guess I haven't bought any. And then on top, like, I like sweater dresses. I like tunics. But then sometimes I really like button-down plaid shirts, too. And I don't figure out, I haven't figured out how to make that look work with the other part. It's like the shirts I buy are too casual or something, and they... Then I pair them with leggings and I look like I'm hanging out in my house on a Saturday afternoon. And what I want to look like is I'm on my way out, you know, for like coffee with a friend. And I somehow it's not quite landing.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about how fashion has kind of played a part in your life. Like, were you a girl who grew up loving clothes? Like, was that something that you participated in a lot when you were a kid or when you were in high school? Like, give me a little bit of that backstory.
So not as much when I was younger. I think I was always, I liked looking at it and was drawn to it, but I came of age in the early 90s, which in the area I lived in was possibly the most boring fashion period ever. Like, everyone just wore bootcut jeans or straight leg jeans, oversized t-shirts and oversized sweaters. Everybody in my school. And I know there was stuff going on elsewhere, but I was not... Like, you know, in the movie Clueless, how Cher and her friends are all so cute.
Right.
My friends and I went and saw that movie and we're like, what is going on? None of us dressed. I mean, we didn't even try. Like, that was not a thing. I went to a very rural, small school. you didn't dress like that. If you did, you would be, people would look at you like you were crazy. Like you dressed down. Everyone dressed really, really down.
Interesting.
And then I went to college and then it was like, oh, now everyone's wearing the baby tees and like the overalls. And then I kind of tried, but it was like, I felt like I was behind the eight ball right from the get go. Mm-hmm. And then I had kids really young. So like I was already, my body was already starting to change by the time I was in my early 20s. So I feel like I've been trying to kind of catch up ever since.
Yeah.
And some of the cutest things I feel like I've put together are when I have a real reason to, like I'm going to an event. Mm-hmm. And when I'm going to an event, I take the time to shop and think, how do all these things work together? How do I keep my suitcase streamlined and not overpack? Mm-hmm. And then when I'm, you know, when I have like a budget and a specific couple days I have to pack for, and I want everything to work together, I can do it. And then when life happens, I just grab stuff and go, like at the store that happens to have, you know, like the store that had like the big box store. Oh, look, there's a sweater. I'm just going to grab it because here I am.
You're getting groceries and cereal and you're like, oh, and they also have a sweater I could maybe use.
Exactly. So, so I don't think that, I think for me, I looked at it a lot when I was a kid or a teen, but I didn't participate in it. And then I kind of tried to catch up later. And I feel like I've been a little bit behind the eight ball because of little kids and budget and all those things that have kind of kept me from really jumping in with both feet.
Yeah. So this is so interesting because this was kind of the impression that I was getting just from your questionnaire was that basically you haven't ever had time to really explore this or experiment with it very much.
Right.
And so
I think that's accurate.
Yeah. And it seems like you are just kind of getting to a point where you're like, I'm ready to get this in order. Like I'm ready to kind of sort this out and have it be sorted and have it be something that I like. And it sounds like there's really just a lot in your closet that doesn't work. And I'm wondering a little bit why it's all still there. Is it just a matter of like, I haven't had a chance to clean it out? Or are you holding on to things for, you know, just in case? Are there things that you think you might use again in the future? Where are the laundry baskets of stuff coming from?
I think I don't really have an emotional attachment to clothes and I'm really good at throwing stuff away. So it's not, I actually really like throwing things away. Like I get a real rush out of it. But I think for me, it's like this idea that if I get rid of this, what will I wear instead? I don't have anything to replace it with just yet. And I think I just kind of go, well, you know, I didn't really wear it. And I always think it's funny when I do this, I do a swap twice a year. I put all of my wintery, fally stuff away and then I get it back out. And there's always stuff that I look at and think, well, I didn't wear that this season, but is this the time to get rid of it? I mean, it's getting put away anyway. I'll just put it away for one more season and see if next year when I pull it out. And I don't want to do that this year. I'm about to start pulling stuff out. And I don't want to look at something and think, I didn't wear this at all last year or the year before. But gosh, it seems like a great idea to hang on to it.
Right.
Or even like I wear it and don't feel good when I wear it. I just want to get rid of it. And I want to know that even if that means I'm pared down to five things, like I can make those five things work until I have seven things. And then, you know, and I could see myself going that scorched earth, really. If I had a plan to build back up, I could do it. I just haven't had the plan.
Okay. Well, this is your time to make the plan because really anything, I mean, the couple of things that you just said, like if you wore something, so I always tell people just have a basket in the bottom of your closet. Okay. Like just keep a basket there. And if you wear anything, even if you try something on and you're like, God, why did I buy this? I don't even like it. It's not quote me, you know, nothing about it is like what I would say that I like. Put it in the basket. Just make that like a donation basket and make it like it's on its way out. And every time that happens, you will get closer and closer to kind of, because what's really happening is what you have is obscured by all the clutter, you know, it's obscured by the stuff that you don't like, that you don't wear. And just remember, if you're not really wearing it or you don't feel great when you're wearing it, when you let go of it, you're still going to be left with the things that you wear.
Yeah, you're right.
Because those are the only things you're wearing anyway. You're not wearing the other stuff. So it would be really, I kind of think like, I don't say this for everybody, but I think for you, it would really be interesting to just kind of go through like with a, like just with a hatchet and just be like, no, I don't like this. And to really, I think the biggest thing with women and with mothers is that we have to give ourselves permission to not like something or to like express our own opinion and say,
Right.
No, this may be functional, but I don't feel good in it. And that is enough of a reason that I deserve things that I do feel good in. You know, like it's enough of a reason to let it go. I think our standards over the course of time raising kids, and you've been a mom for a long time, I think you just kind of get used to like, well, I'm making do, I'm getting by, there are more important things. And I really get the sense from you that you're ready to like, put your own needs first in at least one of these areas. And I don't know, how does that feel to you?
It feels pretty good to me. I like the idea, like I said, kind of like burning it down. And you're right that if I just had it, if I just got rid of the stuff that's on top or like in front of and obscuring the other stuff, I think you're right that I would be left with a much more, I don't know, mindful closet, but also just just more usable and something I can access. So, okay, we're going to take another quick break. And when we get back, I do have some like other questions for you, and maybe you have more for me, but I really want to dig into this idea of if I do that, then what? Like, how do I start over? And then everything, even just like organizing your stuff so that everything is where it needs to be. That's another thing that kind of blows my mind and I have a hard time getting a handle on. So we'll be right back and we can dig more into that. Sarah, one of the most important parts of any wardrobe are your shoes, right? Like whenever I go on a trip, I feel like I could pack maybe two outfits as long as I have five or six pair of shoes so I can dress my clothes up and down.
Oh, totally. And I love slipping on a cute pair of flats or booties to help even just leggings feel a bit more polished. But after living in comfy casual shoes for the past 7 months, Megan, I'm finding that my feet get a little grumpy about even the thought of putting on something dressier.
Yeah, I hear you. But here's the thing. You do not have to sacrifice that comfy slipper feel for stylish shoes. Our sponsor, Vionic, has honest to goodness the most comfortable shoes I've ever put on my feet, but they are so cute. I got a pair of the Willa slip-on flats. They're like a loafer style in this most amazing shade of bright blue suede. I love them, and they give just a little bit of polish to anything I'm wearing, like those leggings you mentioned.
Yes, I have been eyeballing a pair of those loafers for myself. They just scream like boss lady chic, which is a nice feeling to rock on a business Zoom call, even if nobody can see your feet. Vionic was started in Australia, but is now based in the Bay Area, and all their cute styles have a podiatrist-designed footbed concealed on the inside.
When you browse their site, you'll see cute shoes in every style, and I love that Vionic lets you return shoes you're not thrilled with for a full refund within the first 30 days, even if you've worn them outside. And we've got a great deal for our listeners. Get free shipping through December 31st, 2020 when you use the code THEMOMHOUR at VionicShoes.com. Again, use that code THEMOMHOUR at VionicShoes.com. That's V-I-O-N-I-C shoes.com. And you'll get free shipping through December 31st, 2020. Sarah, this fall has been kind of crazy with my kids doing school at home and us trying to return to a more demanding pre-COVID publishing schedule on the podcast. It has been a great time to lean on our sponsor, Green Chef. Green Chef is a USDA certified organic company that ships pre-measured, perfectly portioned, and mostly prepped ingredients right to your door with easy to follow instructions for putting together your meals.
Oh, I hear you, Megan. My kids actually just returned to in-person school, which in some ways is easier on me, but it means there's a lot more running around in the afternoons, and we'd really gotten used to having long stretches of time at home to kind of indulge in leisurely dinner prep. Green Chef does the work of planning and packaging meals that are easy to pull together, and the recipes include pre-measured sauces, dressings, and spices so you can get a delicious meal on the table in less time. Meal plans include paleo, plant-powered, keto, and balanced living. And I love that you can switch up your meal plan whenever you want, so you're not locked into just one.
You've heard us talk about HelloFresh for years, so we were thrilled to find out that Green Chef is now owned by HelloFresh, which allows them to offer an even wider array of meal plans. If you've tried HelloFresh, you'll recognize the awesome recipe cards with step-by-step instructions, chef tips, and photos to guide you along. I'm eyeballing the butter chicken recipe from the upcoming keto menu. We love butter chicken around here. And this version looks amazing.
If you could use a little help with dinner right now, why not let Green Chef do the meal planning, grocery shopping, and most of the prep for a few weeks? Go to greenchef.com/themomhour80 and use the code themomhour80 to get $80 off across four boxes. Again, that's greenchef.com/themomhour80 and use that code themomhour80 to get $80 off across four boxes.
Okay, Daisy. So I think where we left off is you told me to throw all of my things away.
Pretty much.
And burn my entire closet down.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's
Super
pretend,
practical, right?
Well, let's pretend I've done that. Let's pretend it's a week from now and I had a dumpster come and hauled away all the things I've been, you know, carrying around for 10 mm-hmm. years and all mm-hmm. the stuff I bought recently that I don't even like. And I'm down mm-hmm. to like, you know, 3 pair of pants and like 4 tops, which mm-hmm. it could get that scorched earth, that bare. Mm-hmm. What do you then do? Like, where do you start building back up? How do you guide your clients through that?
Sure. Well, I mean, my initial response to that, my gut response is to say, actually 4 tops and 3 pants is pretty good. You could yeah. probably live on oh, that for a true. While. yeah. And I think that that's just kind of one other thing to like, just keep in mind as you're going through this process is like, what are the messages I've been given about what I need to function? Have I been given this message that almost all of us have been that like, I need a new outfit every time I go out with friends, or I need a new outfit every time I'm going to be photographed at an event, or, you know, and just kind of like trying to figure out where that came from and what that really means. Like if you had, I mean, I'm just going to take you super literally and be like, if you had 4 tops, maybe a couple were striped and then maybe the other 2 were neutral and you had some jeggings and some black, you know, skinny pants and some leggings. I mean, you can make quite a few combinations with that. You add in some cute accessories, some cute shoes. You kind of can do a lot with that. And I think it's really interesting for us to feel like we always need more options. And that's like scientifically not true. Like they've done studies that when people are presented with more options, they actually have a harder time making decision than if they have fewer options and they feel better about their decision that they were able to make. And so for you, I feel like there may be a little bit of that overwhelm happening too, where you're just like we were talking about before, you're digging through all this excess. And if you could really get down to the things that you like and wear, I honestly think it will be easier. And then, so how does that feel? How does that ring for you?
That feels good. I mean, I like the way that feels. It feels, it feels very simple and streamlined and like that feels like a relief in a way.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, I think again, this is something that moms, sometimes we compare ourselves to like the cute mom in the pickup line or like, you know, the mom who I always call it Pinterest perfect. Like, and it doesn't have to be so complicated. We don't have to have so many options for all those things. And if you like, for instance, if you're a fashion blogger or you're an influencer and that's your job, great. But for most moms, we don't really have the time and energy to invest in that. And if we could just allow ourselves to just keep it really simple and not feel like we're not doing it well, then I think it would just make things so much easier on us.
So, okay, couple practical questions.
Sure.
Let's address sort of this other thing that I talked about a little bit before, where I do sometimes feel like I need to have like that novelty thing, or there's like something like, there's the outfit, there's the dress that you might wear if you go out someplace fancy, or there's the outfit you're going to wear if you're super dressed down or like you're camping, you know, how do you, maybe for sometimes, I feel like for me, it's a matter of it being, I don't have things in the right places or something. It's like, I'm trying to put too much in my dresser and I'm not putting the right things together. I don't think I'm utilizing my closet very well. I'm sure it all plays together. So yeah. as much as you can dig in on that.
Yeah, what I got from your questionnaire is that, for one thing, you seem to have a negative association with the fact that you have these different areas of your life that require different clothing. And that's totally logical and normal and it makes perfect sense, right? So I kind of got a little bit that you're like, oh, I should have like one wardrobe that can like work for all these things. And I just don't think that's true. I think, but what I do think is that you're getting confused with the organization part of it, just like you just said. So for instance, like I was kind of taking notes on your, from your questionnaire. So basically I think you could have kind of a uniform for each of some of these big categories. For instance, when you're being active and working out, you have lounge time at home, you have some like dirty work, like you're gardening or working on the house or whatever. You have like maybe a work uniform where you're working from home, or, you know, you can dress it up a little bit if you're working out of the home, and then maybe social, you know, social occasions. And the idea that will make that easier is if you have these items all grouped together. And so when you go to get dressed, you're only looking at one area of your closet, then you have a much smaller number of options to choose between, as opposed to if you are going out and you have to wade through every occasion in your closet to find your going out clothes, it's going to be just a lot more draining, you know? And there is this real thing called decision fatigue, where like we use our decision-making skills all day long and then you know, either we exhaust it when we get dressed in the morning, or if we're going out at night, we're just kind of like, I can't make any more decisions today.
Right.
So if you can isolate things by their use as much as possible. So for you, I would say, for most of my clients, you know, we kind of separate areas in the closet. Like, here's your mom clothes. Like, here's your stay-at-home mom clothes. Here's your, the day you have to go into the office clothes. Like, you know, you're going to the office once or twice a week. That's just these things. Here's your, you know, maybe in your dresser, Megan, you keep your active wear. And, you know, I know, like, with your day, you're getting up, you're being active. And then later on you may get dressed and then you would go to your, just your, okay, this is my everyday clothes. Like, stuff that I wear around the house, but I also feel cute in, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you are getting more dressed up, then you kind of go to another section of your closet. But if those things are intertwined, it just makes it all a lot harder.
Yeah. And do you have the same recommendation for like shoes and accessories? I'm even thinking undergarments mm-hmm. in some ways could be, I mean, there are bras I will never wear unless I'm going out.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
No, like a fancy dress something. Yeah.
Yeah. I have like a fancy underwear drawer, which, like, you know, let's be honest, never gets open. but yeah. And then I keep all my workout and loungewear stuff kind of together in a drawer. I don't bother hanging that stuff. I just throw it in a drawer, or you can throw it in a basket in your closet. And then I will say I hang almost everything else because it's just much easier to see things when they're hung up. So if there's anything, like, even for your everyday stuff, like, even if you just wear tank tops and jeans or tank tops and shorts, and you don't necessarily have to hang the bottoms, but even just hanging up those tank tops or whatever, they're simple, but that's like an option for you to wear that day. And you don't need to remember where those live. If it's hanging right in front of you, then you can be like, oh yeah, this is my option. These are my options here. I know a lot of people sometimes keep like a drawer of like, oh, here's where all my layering stuff is. And to me, that's part of an outfit. And it's something you want to be able to see when you're getting dressed.
Well, because then you have to pick through, like, you know, layers of layering things. Mm-hmm. And I think another problem I've had is keeping all of my leggings in one place and then mm-hmm. not being able to distinguish between the ones I work out in and the ones I mm-hmm. want to wear. They all look the same when they're folded mm-hmm. in a drawer. Mm-hmm. So I can't tell until I pull them out. It's just more, you're right, it just creates more mental clutter and decisions that I have to make. Yeah. So let's talk about a little bit about online shopping mm-hmm. because like I told you, I live in a retail desert, but mm-hmm. right now, I mean, shopping, I have been to a store to try on clothes one time since mm-hmm. COVID, and I don't want to repeat that experience anytime soon. I just felt it was not fun for me. Like the mask and just the weirdness of being out, and mm-hmm. I felt really sweaty and irritated the entire time. So
yeah, that's terrible.
I'm going to be relying on online shopping to some mm-hmm. degree. So what recommendations do you have? Like, how do you do that process when you you can't see or touch it, like, or you can see it, but just from one angle. So how do you recommend clients do that?
Yeah. Well, it's something that so many people have questions about. I actually have like a whole online workshop about it because it is hard. And I think another thing that women have kind of been conditioned to believe is that, well, I'm female, I should know how to shop. Like, I should know how to do these things and I should be successful at it.
In my jeans.
And it's just a kind of a hard thing. One thing I like to remind people is, like, if you think about 100 years ago, anyone, whoever they were, had clothes that were made for their specific body. Like, either if you didn't have money, you made them for yourself. If you had money, you paid someone else to make them for you. So what we have now is a situation where factories are just kind of churning out these averages of every woman who exists in the world. And then we try one or two things and feel very frustrated when it doesn't work for our particular body. And that's just a really unrealistic expectation to have, you know what I mean? So one thing I try and reframe it as, online shopping is bringing the dressing room to you. So when you would go into a store, you're going into a dressing room, so you would pick up a bunch of things to try, right? Because you're right there. You're just going to try them on. And with online shopping, and particularly now, you really have to reframe it as, you're going to bring that to you. So this is, you know, definitely a hard shift for some people to make. And it may not be possible for everyone to do, but my suggestion is to, when you're shopping online, order as many things as you can to try, because it's so frustrating. And maybe you've had this experience. It's so frustrating. You order one or two things, they come, they don't fit, you don't like them. And then you're just like, well, that was a waste of time.
Yes. Yeah. You feel like you put too many eggs in that basket or something. And those two outfits, like there's too much importance. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. So if you just that's exactly it. If you just downplay the importance of like, you're not ordering things to keep, you're ordering things to try. And that is really the only way that we're going to be successful doing this is by trying a bunch of different stuff. So, you know, order more than one size, order more than one style of different things. And if you're already placing an order, you're already paying for shipping or getting free shipping or whatever it is, why not just order a bunch of things and then you're going to be returning something anyway, then return more at the same time. It doesn't make your time investment anymore, but it makes it a lot more possible that you might get lucky with the things that you do
order. Yeah. That's really smart. And I have talked on the show before about how I have a mental block about returns. Like I really, really hate making returns. And I bought some kind of fast fashion stuff over the summer from places that don't make it easy to return. So that's even a worse feeling. It's like, oh no. Yeah. I have things I just held on to that I don't even want because I don't want to return it. Yeah.
Yeah. That is. And let me tell you, that's why a lot of people, like I'll go into so many women's closets and be like, and they'll be like, oh, I don't like that. I don't even know why I have it. And they're like, oh yeah, it was the fifth item in Stitch Fix. Like it was just too much to return it. So I just kept it. And it's like, we deserve more than that, than just letting things like take up residence in our closet just because we can't get them out. But yeah, so that's another great thing to do is just to order. Like if this is something new to you, start ordering from places that make it really easy. Like Zappos has not just shoes, they have tons of clothing. Nordstrom has free shipping, free returns. And these things, they come with, you know, the return stickers in the box. You basically take it out, try it on, put it right back in the box, stick that sticker on there, and then go drop it off somewhere. And, you know, that's a good way to kind of like ease your way in. And then, you know, those places are not going to have the best prices on things, but if you can try things on and get to know your size or what you really need or what you really like, then you can go, you know, somewhere that might have a better price, but maybe a less easy, you know, return policy and kind of be more successful that way.
Yeah. And I guess when you think about the hassle factor too, like if I just reframe it, like you're saying, and it's not, I'm going to go to the mall and shop, which is I hate anyway. So it's not like, you know, I get to skip that part, but that means I need to put it on the calendar that then I'm going to take all the things I'm rejecting from my personal dressing room, which is my bedroom. And I'm going to go take those to the UPS store, which is super easy. I mean, the fact that like, this is such a mind block for me is kind of silly, but it's just like one of those, it's just one of those things that I just don't want to do. And I just have to get over that. It's like, I'm doing that instead of going into the store in the first place.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, if you think about it that way, then to me, it feels easier, you know, because then you're, like you said, when you went into the store, and this is the case even in pre-pandemic times, it can be hot and sweaty and like you don't have your own bathroom and like, you know, you know, if you can, again, bring that to your environment where you feel comfortable, you feel good. Why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah, that's great. Well, I know that you said that you have a course that you're teaching. Well, you mentioned the one just for online shopping. I would love to hear more about that. But then you also have one coming up that's actually launching next week. Is that correct? So tell us about that and how listeners can find that and find you.
Sure. Yeah. So a couple of years ago, I created a course called Making Space. And it's basically the idea is that you are letting go of all these things that create stress for you in your wardrobe. These, whether they are like external expectations of what you should be wearing or, you know, something that's been restrictive for you, but you felt like you had to wear it because that was your body type. Just kind of letting go of all these things and in the process, letting go of stuff in your closet that's not working for you. And so basically it's pretty much everything I work with my clients on all kind of in 1 4-week group program. So we have videos and a workbook, and then every week we have kind of a discussion and a live session where we kind of work through each module. So that's Making Space. It's at makingspacecourse.com and that's launching October 9th. Okay. And otherwise my website is mindfulcloset.com and I have a love-hate relationship with Instagram, but I am there a lot.
Okay.
And I'm at mindfulcloset. I'm at mindfulcloset on Instagram. So
on Instagram as well. Well, this has been really fun and I am actually looking forward to next rainy day, which looks like we're going to have a bunch of rainy days this week. I am just going to get out some trash bags and do it.
Do it. Do it.
And maybe I'll be able to even pull it together soon enough to take a photo of all of, all of my, the rejects and maybe even what's left and just see where that takes me. Because I do think having that blank slate, that blank canvas is going to feel really good.
Yeah, I really don't think you'll be able to see what you need until you get down to that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that, again, that stuff is kind of obscuring the view. And I just wanted to say, so you sent me a picture of an outfit that you did love, and it's super cute. Oh, yeah. And I love it. But you mentioned, so you're wearing like kind of a tunic length tank top and maybe skinny jeans or black skinny
pants.
They're
they're jeggings. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And like a cute boot. And I just think this is like the perfect base for your kind of uniform. Like this could be, if you took like this same outfit and had like a dressier fabric for the top and then like a cool necklace, like there you go. Or maybe, and like add a cute shoe, like that's like your going out look. Or, you know, again, you could do this. I think you could just do the flannel shirt over this and have like a great weekend look. And for fall, you could, you know, layer it with a nice cardigan and a scarf. And I just think you have a really good kind of base for building on with this.
Well, so good. Then job. I'll just do that. I'll just do more of that. It was one of those where I bought, and those were actually both off Jane, which I don't shop a lot on Jane, but I just happened to see and separate times. I did not buy those things together. Mm-hmm. And what's just for listeners, I'll put a picture. I literally took it in the Kohl's dressing room. bathroom last week when I was making a return, because you can make Amazon returns to Kohl's here. But anyway, so I just was like, oh, I actually kind of like this outfit. I'm going to snap a picture and send it to Daisy. And I thought the thing that has frustrated me is like in the middle of the summer when it's hot, I don't wear the tank top with long pants and I don't like it as much. But then I thought, why couldn't I wear it with a skirt? It would have the same line as the longer pants. Mm-hmm. And it never occurred to me until I saw myself standing there and thought, if I had like a narrow fitted skirt, it would have a similar feel to the pants. And what I was joking about is that tank top and long pant weather lasts about 2 weeks on either side here. It's like right now and then like May and then it's over. So but layers just take that would and totally add on solve to it.
Yeah, exactly.
You're right. I love that.
That's, I think you're on the right track. Well,
okay. I will take your advice there and I will let you know and all listeners know how my wardrobe dissection goes. And everyone definitely check out Daisy and the Mindful Closet, because I think that they're right that this is someplace we could all stand to invest in ourselves a little bit more. So it's been great to talk to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely. Thanks, Megan.